Welcome to the Kitchen Counter Podcast, Episode 1, To Cook or Not to Cook. Hey everybody, Roger here. Thank you so much for downloading and listening to this very first episode of the Kitchen Counter Podcast. I'm so excited to have you along on this home cooking journey with me. Because this is the first episode, I do want to take just a couple of minutes to talk about what this podcast is going to be about, a little bit about myself so we can get to know each other, and what you as the listener can expect to get out of this podcast going forward. After that, I'm going to take a little bit of time and I want to talk about some of the reasons people get into home cooking and some of the reasons they choose to spend more time in the kitchen making their own food. I also want to talk about some of the barriers and myths that keep people from becoming home cooks. And these are things that you've probably run into yourself if you're just looking to get into home cooking or you want to try to spend more time in the kitchen, but maybe you haven't been successful at that. So we're going to cover that a little bit later. But for now, I just want to go through a few things about the podcast because this is the first episode to kind of lay the groundwork for future happenings. The first thing I want to talk about is the name, The Kitchen Counter. And when I first came up with this name and I told my wife about it, she said, well, that's a cool name, but why The Kitchen Counter? And I thought about it for a minute and it occurred to me that when I was a kid and even now to a large extent, a lot of things happened around our kitchen counter. When I was growing up, not only did we make food around the kitchen counter, we ate meals around the kitchen counter. We sat and told stories and played games around the kitchen counter. We drank around the kitchen counter. Generally, social life revolved around our kitchen and that counter. An old orange formica countertop that you've probably seen something like in the Brady Bunch episodes, that was our kitchen counter. And we spent a lot of time around it. And I thought, what an appropriate name for a podcast that's going to be about cooking and eating and growing confidence and skills in the kitchen and really making memories with family and friends around food and home cooking. It just seemed so appropriate to me. So that's why I'm calling it The Kitchen Counter. So what this show really is going to focus on is cooking and eating. And of course, everybody eats and everybody enjoys eating, and we probably don't need any help there. But cooking, I think there are a lot of people out there, yourself included, I'm guessing, since you're checking out this podcast, that want to get into their kitchen more and do some more home cooking for their family and their friends. So I really want to make this podcast about helping you do that, growing your skills and your confidence so you can get into the kitchen. To that end, I'm going to be talking about kitchen tools and appliances and food product reviews. I'm going to be talking about specific ingredients and how to use them. In future episodes, I'm going to be incorporating interviews with experts who can help us with ingredients and cooking techniques, things like that. I want to talk about recipes. And in future episodes, when I talk about recipes, I want you to know that you can find those on my website at kitchencounterpodcast.com. So any recipe that I cover in the show, you can find there, step-by-step instructions. Or if it's not my recipe, I will put a link to where you can find it. I want to cover tips and quote-unquote hacks for home cooking. There's a lot of things we can do in the kitchen to save us time and headaches, and I want to help you out with those. And I also want to hear from you on what you do to save time when you are on your home cooking journey, and you can share with myself and the other listeners things that you do to make life easier. And you can email me those stories and those tips at feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. I would love to hear from you, absolutely. And if you send me any tips or hacks for the home kitchen, I will definitely get them on the show. And as news items come up that might be of interest to home cooks, I would like to cover those on the show as well. And of course, those topics might change, the format might change as we go on and we see what works and what doesn't work. But for now, that's kind of my working model of what the podcast is going to be. So a little bit about myself. First things first, I'm not a professional cook. I don't cook for a living to make a wage, but I have been home cooking for over 20 years, and I just love to do it. And while I've learned a lot in the kitchen, I know that I have a long way to go and a lot more things to learn and a lot more recipes to try before I become, you know, a really well-rounded home cook. But I've learned a lot, and I know my way around a kitchen, and I want to take that experience and help you as you start your home cooking Of course, I love food and the memories I mentioned earlier that we build around food. I think food is one of the most powerful forces in our lives, really, and culturally and personally, with family and friends. That's where it's at. And I want you to know I'm not a food snob, so to speak, or an ingredient snob. It would be great if we could all have access and time to work with the purest, finest ingredients around, but that's unfortunately not the case for the vast majority of people who are home cooks. So keeping that in mind, I think we need to be flexible when it comes to making home cooking work for us. You know, for example, if you're making soup and you don't have time to make your own chicken stock, I don't want you to ditch the whole making soup project because you can't do that. It's okay to use chicken stock from a box that you bought at the store. If you're making something with beans and you don't have time to soak your beans, it's okay to use canned beans. It's not the end of the world. So we need to be flexible when it comes to putting together our home meals. So just know that this is a no judgment zone when it comes to what you're doing in the kitchen. Now, certainly I have opinions on what's better than other things and what works for me the best when it comes to ingredients or tools or whatever. And I'm going to share those as we go on. But if you find a way that works for you in the kitchen and it is making everybody happy, by all means, stick with that. That if that's working for you, that's the best possible thing. So then what it all comes down to is you, the listener. And I really, if you're interested in home cooking, I really want to help you get in the kitchen and start making food. I want you to gain more confidence. I want you to understand the tools that go into home cooking and the methods. So I want to really get you some info to get started to grow those skills and confidence. And that doesn't mean we won't be talking about some more advanced things down the line. The idea here is that you can dip in, listen to an episode, and if you can pick up one or two useful ideas from the podcast each episode, I think that's a success for both of us. And of course, I want to have some fun, and I want to learn stuff with you. So as I try out new things, I'm going to share those experiences on the show. And likewise, if you try out something new and you want to tell us how it went and share with us and the listeners, by all means, again, that feedback at kitchencounterpodcast.com. Please send me your stories. I'd love to hear them and share them with everybody on the show. But ultimately, if we can get more people cooking and enjoying their own food, everybody wins. You win, your family wins, your friends win. And that's really why we're doing this. Okay, so enough with all that first podcast. Here's what I want to do stuff. Let's talk about reasons you might want to get into home cooking. And again, if you're listening to this podcast, I'm guessing you already have a reason you want to start getting into the kitchen more at home. But I'm going to go over a couple of things that maybe you haven't thought of and maybe could be a benefit to you, an added benefit to you as you start this home cooking journey. So first of all, a lot of times people want to get into home cooking because they want to have a healthier lifestyle. Now, that's not to say that home cooking is the healthiest way to go. It all depends on what you do with your recipes and what kind of ingredients you use at home. But I can tell you one thing's probably for certain. If you're eating out for every meal, every day of the week, or nearly every meal, every day of the week, I can practically guarantee you that when you start cooking at home more, you're going to start eating healthier, whether you realize it or not. And one of the main reasons for that is because you're in charge of what's going into your meals and you know what's going into your meals. So, I mean, let's talk about fast food for a minute. And again, you know what? There is nothing wrong with eating a cheeseburger from your favorite fast food place now and then. It's not that big of a deal. French fries are delicious. I get it. I do it myself. But you want to avoid doing that, obviously, every day for lunch or every day for dinner or whatever. So just the fact that you can cut out some of that fast food, and even if you make the home-cooked equivalent of a hamburger and, you know, potato or starch, you're going to be getting it a lot healthier. You're going to be getting less sodium and other stuff, fat and grease that's added to that food. And even, you know, sit-down restaurants, whether it's a chain restaurant like your favorite Italian place or Mexican place, Chinese place, whatever, or whether it's a nicer establishment that, you know, is more upscale dining experience, you know, you're probably getting a lot more sodium and other things, fat in your food than maybe you'd like. So when you make those types of meals at home, you know exactly what's going into your meals, and you can track that if that's what you like to do. At the very least, you kind of know where you stand when you're eating the food that you make at home. So that's a positive thing right there. So you're going to be eating a lot healthier when you start cooking at home more. And even if you only cook a couple of meals at home a week, or make your own lunches at home to take with you to work, that's a start, and that's a positive thing to do. Tagging on to that last thought about eating out a lot, you're probably going to start saving money when you cook at home more. It's expensive to eat fast food. It's expensive to go to a sit-down restaurant, very expensive for most people, in fact, to go to actual restaurants and eat, not only in the dollars it takes to buy those meals, but in the time it takes to go to the restaurant, to sit down, to have a meal, to get home. I mean, time is money, and you can spend a lot of that running around trying to get yourself meals tucked into your very busy schedule. We're going to talk in a later episode about meal planning. And if you're really serious about getting into the kitchen and cooking more for yourself, whether it's every day or just a few days a week, meal planning and getting everything ahead of time and planned out is going to save you time and money, and you're absolutely going to love it. So it's more economical to cook at home. Another reason that people like to get into cooking at home, and this is one of the reasons I like it so much myself, is that it's very fulfilling. Cooking can be nourishment for your body, you know, in the form of nutrients, but it can also be a challenge. It can be nurturing for your mind as you try to figure out how to make that dish you've always wanted to try or perfect a recipe that you've kind of come up with yourself. It can be very fulfilling to make a meal that your family enjoys, that your friends talk about and compliment you on, and that tastes good and is better maybe than even those restaurant equivalents that you've gone out and enjoyed yourself. So it can be so fulfilling when you can finally get the skills to the place you want to be that you can make maybe a holiday dinner for your family. Maybe you've never made Thanksgiving dinner for your family, but I guarantee you when you get your skills to a point that you can put that sort of a thing together, you're going to be on cloud nine when it's all said and done. And it's so fulfilling. And everything else aside, if there's no other reason you want to get into home cooking, but just to spend your time at home in a fulfilling way, that's fantastic. Another reason to get into more home cooking, and another reason that I do it, is it's quite fun. It can be a challenge. It can be a hobby. It can be something that you take time to perfect and understand and learn the nuances of techniques and ingredients. You start putting your own recipes together. And that's one aspect of why home cooking is so fun on a personal level. But it's really quite fun when you can get to the point where you're making hors d'oeuvres for your friends who are coming over to have a glass of wine and, you know, have chit chat around the table, tell jokes and stories. Maybe you want to make food for a tailgate party for your next football game. And the fun that comes out of making the food instead of, let's say, going to the store and buying a box of chicken legs or, you know, chips and dip off the counter or off the shelf. When you can make those things yourself and share those with your friends, it is so much fun. It's actually way more fun when you know that you've made that and people are enjoying it and talking about it. And just the skills and things that go into cooking, it's really an art form. It can be an art form. It's really not different than painting or doing any other creative endeavor. So if you're looking to fill your time with some more creative endeavors, cooking at home is really a fantastic and really fun way to do that. Okay, so those are some examples, probably, at least in my mind, the biggest examples of why people get into cooking at home. And maybe you're listening to that and you're saying, yeah, that applies to me, or maybe you have other reasons for getting into cooking at home, but you're not getting there for some reason. There's some barrier, there's some roadblock that is getting in your way. So let's talk about that a little bit. And again, I want to go down a list of a few things where people use, and I don't want to say they're excuses, because in a lot of cases, these are very valid roadblocks or barriers, but I want to talk about them and maybe give a couple of examples on how you can overcome those or why maybe they're not actually barriers in the first place. Okay. So one of the things I've heard before, and it actually, I run into this myself now, and I have to consciously work to remind myself that you can make time to do this, is people think you have to have a lot of time to be a home cook. And to some degree, you do have to have time to cook at home. It's you can't just come home, snap your fingers, and a meal of some sort appears for your family out of thin air, right? So there is some time commitment involved. But with some things we're going to be talking about later on, like I mentioned earlier, meal planning or prepping food ahead that you can use throughout the week, you're going to be able to save a lot of time. And in fact, I would guess when you stop to look at how much time you spend running to the store each night when you're trying to figure out what you want to make or get for dinner or running to get takeout or going to restaurants to sit down and have meals, when you do the math and balance those out, you're going to find as you start moving away from doing some of those activities and putting them to home cooking, the time will probably, if it doesn't even out, you'll probably gain in favor of home cooking. You'll probably end up maybe with a little more time to do things other than running around looking for food to feed your family. So you don't have to have tons of time to be a home cook. You do have to have a little bit of time. And this is a commitment that you'll need to make when you want to get into home cooking. And again, if you're looking to start, and I encourage if you're completely new to home cooking and this is a totally new journey for you, don't go whole hog 100% in home cooking right off the bat. You want to make some small steps, have some small victories, gain some confidence, gain some skills before you start, you know, turning over. Maybe your ultimate goal is you want to cook at home every day of the week for your family. That's a fantastic goal to have, but don't think you can go from eating out completely, for example, or eating from a box completely to cooking meal from scratch every day of the week right off the bat. We're going to start with some small victory. So in that way, it can be a small time commitment as well if you're only planning on maybe doing one meal a week for starters or a couple of meals per week or making lunches for the week when you're working. Another thing that people say is, well, boy, I'd sure love to get into cooking at home more, but my kitchen's tiny. I don't really have any appliances. My pots and pans are crappy. I just don't have the stuff that it takes to cook really good food, which, again, I understand that completely. But know that you do not have to have the most top-of-the-line equipment. You don't need to have copper pots. You don't, or all-clad, you know, pots and pans to be a fantastic cook. You don't need to have a fancy 6-burner gas range with a griddle top. I mean, you don't need any of that stuff to make delicious food. Certainly, you may be limited in some of the types of food you can make if you don't have certain equipment, but that's no reason to put the kibosh on the entire home cooking experience. So take what you have in your kitchen, take an inventory of the equipment you have. You may need to invest a little bit of money to get a pot that you need or a blender or whatever that you really want, but start out slow. Look at the type of food you want to make. Check out some recipes. See what kind of equipment they require. Take stock with what you have at home. Make a list. Write it down. That's what I would recommend. And make a list of what you have. Make a list of what you'd like to get in the future or what you'd like to upgrade. Maybe you do have, you know, a nonstick pan that's seen better days. So maybe that's the first thing on your list. You want to go buy a new nonstick pan. But start with what you've got in the kitchen. You can make delicious food with anything you have. And you only have to watch any of these cooking shows where they go to exotic foreign locales and they go into a local person's kitchen. And in many cases, what they're cooking with is very rudimentary equipment, but they're turning out unbelievably delicious meals. So not having a huge kitchen, not having lots of neat equipment should not be a barrier to get you in the kitchen. There's no reason to let that stop you. Now, in the show, as we go forward, I am going to talk about some equipment, appliances, and things like that that I really like, or maybe that I would even like to get myself. But again, just because you don't have a super fancy expensive knife doesn't mean you can't do kitchen prep with the knife you've got already. So again, don't let that stop you. I've also heard people say, as kind of a reason they don't get into cooking for themselves at home, is, wow, I'd sure love to get into home cooking, but I'm a crappy cook. I just don't have any talent. I'll burn water and I can't make toast. And that may be true. That may be absolutely true. They may have no experience, no background in the kitchen. They might have a whole kitchen in their house that they've never even had to clean because they've never made it dirty by making anything. But certainly no great chef ever was born, you know, making the perfect souffle or whatever. So practice is what really does it. And a lot of times, one of the things, and we're going to talk about this in more detail in a future episode, but one of the pitfalls that people run into is they don't have realistic expectations when they get into home cooking. So one of the reasons they think they're not a talented cook, or they're not cut out, no pun intended, for cooking, is that they find something they really want to make, maybe in a magazine or from, you know, the food TV show. And they say, wow, that looks fantastic. I'm going to go try to make that. They attempt to make maybe what's a very complicated dish. It fails. It looks terrible. It doesn't taste that great. And they think, well, I'm obviously not a very good cook. I'm not going to waste my time doing this anymore. And those expectations are just not realistic. You can't expect to go into the kitchen for the first time, or even take a complicated recipe for the first time, and have something come out looking like the photograph in that food magazine. It's just not going to happen. So you understand that with anything that's a creative endeavor or that takes skill building, it's going to take a little time and practice, which means you're going to have to make some sort of a commitment and have a little discipline to stick with it and start out small. And one of the things this podcast is going to help you do is start out small, take baby steps, get some of those small, easy victories so you can move on to the more complicated things. And before you know it, you're not going to be saying, I'm a terrible cook, or I don't have any cooking talent. You're going to start understanding how to look at yourself in different terms, and you're going to say, wow, I used to think I was a terrible cook, but now I know how to make risotto. Wouldn't that be cool? And we're going to get there one of these days, and you're going to think of yourself in a completely different way, and you're going to have the confidence to go out and tackle those really complicated recipes. And you know what? You're going to succeed at those because you're going to put in the time and the practice to get there. And then the last one I'll mention is some folks say they don't have anybody to cook for. Maybe they live alone, they're single. Why waste their time in the kitchen cooking these great meals if there's nobody around to enjoy them? And the only thing I would say to that is you're around to enjoy them. And what better way, if you're really interested in home cooking, there is really no safer way to fail than fail for yourself. So get in there, try those recipes you really want to try. And if they turn out to totally suck, guess what? You're the only person that's there to taste it. You know what's wrong. You know how to fix it. That's one thing. The other thing is start cooking food and find people to make food for. Invite a friend over to have that fabulous bowl of soup you just made and the homemade bread you just baked in the oven. Guess what? Now you've got somebody to cook for. Not having people to cook for doesn't mean I have to have a family. It doesn't mean I have to cook for other people every day all the time when I'm cooking. Again, it's about making memories with your friends as well. So maybe your workplace has a potluck, but you've never done anything but stopped at the store and bought a vegetable tray to take to it. Don't do that next time. Next time, let's find a recipe that's going to be something you can live with and work with. Make it, take it to that potluck, and now you've contributed food to somebody else's memories, and that's fantastic. So don't let the idea that you don't have anybody to cook for get in your way. Again, you're cooking for yourself. And if we look back to those benefits I talked about, you're going to be saving money, you're going to be eating healthier, and hopefully you'll be having some fun being creative in the kitchen. Okay, well, I think that about does it for this episode. We covered what this podcast was going to be about. We talked a little bit about some of the reasons that people want to get into home cooking and some of the reasons they don't, or roadblocks or barriers that they perceive as getting in the way of starting their home cooking journey. In future episodes, we'll get into a little more actual cooking talk. We'll go over some recipes and ingredients. But until then, I want you to get in the kitchen. I want you to try something new, and I'd love for you to tell me about it. Again, you can send me an email at feedback@kitchencounterpodcast.com. If you want to check out the website, and if you want to check out the show notes for this episode, you can visit kitchencounterpodcast.com/1. I've started a Facebook page. You can find us there at facebook.com/kitchencounterpodcast. And finally, if you want to connect on Twitter, you can find us at @TKCpodcast. Thank you so much for downloading and listening to this very first episode of the Kitchen Counter Podcast. I really look forward to the next time we can hang out around the kitchen counter and talk about food and cooking and how we can start making memories with our family and friends in the kitchen. Until next time, see you later.